Good to be with all of you. If you have your Bibles, open them to Psalm 19. We're going to try to finish that psalm this morning. I think we will. Psalm number 19. We've been talking about the Word of God, the value of the Word of God, and how it leads us to Christ and all the differences that it makes. And we're going to be looking today at verses 10 through 14. I'm going to read this scripture, we're going to pray, and then we're going to try to get into it. More to be desired are they than gold, talking about the Word of God. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And you know, the same reference is made in the book of Proverbs about wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than rubies and gold and silver and all the rest. In other words, we're to really value the Word of God and see the value that it has. Moreover, by them, that is the Word of God, thy servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And so the Bible is a guide. It tells us how to live, tells us what's right, tells us what's wrong, and it says it'll warn us, it'll guide us. And I was kind of influenced a little bit by Brother Don in his meme this morning. I'll talk about that in a moment. And Brother Reg on Friday brought a wonderful devotional and talking about the conscience and about sin. And it kind of made me think about the message that I've been already looking at all week. So I thank you for these godly men that have been a blessing. And it says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So we're going to talk about what's the right word for it? Inadvertent sins, perhaps, sins that kind of sneak up on us, but help us to understand that. And then verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, sins that we know that are wrong before we even do them. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, thank you for this portion of scripture. I pray the Holy Spirit will give me the right words to say, and I pray I can be a blessing to you and an encouragement this morning to your people, and may you get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Don's meme, instead of starting with the first verse, I'm going to start with the last verse. Because if you got it, I know a lot of you get it, and he sends them out. And it said, when you look at the Word of God, we don't use the Word of God like a magnifying glass so that we can look at others and see their sin. But he said, rather, in the Word of God, see it as a mirror, that we could see our own self. What is God saying to us? Reminds me of a story from a missionary, and I don't know what country he was in, but in this tribal group, they would be sitting there, and he would be teaching, and if he would talk about a certain sin, let's say he was talking about lying, and the people would all start pointing over here at this guy, you know, or if he was talking about drinking, and they'd be pointing over here at this guy. And, you know, we need to ask the Lord, speak to my heart, right? Don't point out the sins in others. And I think sometimes, you know, I'm sure I've been guilty, you probably have, and you hear the message being preached, and in your mind you're thinking, yeah, so-and-so needed that. That's a good one, Lord, they needed that. And really, we need it, amen? Amen. So we're going to start with, let the words of my mouth. We can't speak for others, we can only speak for ourselves. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And real quickly, you know the verse well, but Psalm 139, right at the end. And again, it talks about looking inward and self-reflection. It says, search me, O God, in verse 23. Search me, not search others. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That last part is pretty good, isn't it? See if there be any wicked way in me. We know the answer to that already. Yeah, my heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. We already know that. God, I already know what you're going to find. It's not that God needs to know, we need to know. You remember when Jacob wrestled with the man, with the angel. It was actually with Christ. And you know, he asked him a question. What's your name? Didn't God know his name? Yeah, he knew who he was. It was Jacob. But Jacob needed to know who he was. Yeah, you're the trickster. You're the supplanter. You're the deceiver. That's who you are, but I'm giving you a new name. Amen? Boy, I thought I'd get an amen on that, but okay, we'll keep going, we'll keep trying. But God wants us, when he gives us the word of God, to examine ourselves, and then we're to confess with our mouths, and we're to give praise and glory to God. You know, I can't confess what you're doing, but I can confess what I'm doing, right? Amen. We're going to talk about inadvertent sins. We're going to talk about presumptuous sins. We're going to talk about the conscience. Brother Reg, is Brother Reg here? There he is. Thank you. He talked about the conscience, and he gave an idea of something that happened in his life, and he talked about something they were watching on television, his friend was, and it bothered him. And, you know, that's the way it is with sin and with our conscience. Sin ought to bother us, amen? It talks about, maybe I'll get to read it, maybe I won't, time is short. About those that have their consciences seared with a hot iron. He says, I think it's 1 Timothy 4, that he says in the latter days that people are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, listening to lies and hypocrisy. And he says, in other words, they've got to a place that they can't discern what is right and wrong anymore. I pray sin will always bother us. If we ever get comfortable with sin and it doesn't bother us anymore, so if we're watching something that is wrong and the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, we always need to agree with God. Say, yes, that's wrong. And if there is anything in our life, you know, I look around at this group here today. What a wonderful group of saints. Amen? Boy, you guys don't think much of yourself. Can't even get an amen on that.
Amen.
Amen. But what a wonderful group of saints. And I know you've confessed up, you've prayed up, and you're here to worship the Lord. I have no doubt. But yet, have you ever found yourself, you've prayed up and all of that, and yet you get to the house of God and you find things distracting you? Sometimes it's like, Lord, what are we going to have for lunch today? Have you ever found yourself doing that while the sermon is being preached and you're wondering, where are we going for lunch today? Well, you know, that's one of those things that kind of sneak up on us. And we think we're prepared, we're ready. The devil wants to distract us. You know, I remember one preacher was preaching, they had a new baby in the church, and they were sitting up kind of a little bit closer, and the baby was cooing and all of that, and the people said, oh, and he was like, I ain't got a chance. People aren't listening to me. So we could get distracted by a whole lot of things. So don't be distracted this morning. Listen to the Lord. Not to me. I don't have anything. But the Lord, he has what we need. I want you to, there's a verse. I hope I wrote it down. Well, I think I did. And it talks about the conscience. Well, I guess I didn't write it down. Anyway, if you would turn in Proverbs chapter 20. I hope this is the right spot. In verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And I've heard it preached, and I believe it's true. It's referring to the conscience of man. You know that every person has a conscience. Everybody is taught what is right and what is wrong. And I'm going to see if I wrote this scripture down. Well, keep going, John. It's in here somewhere. Romans 2, 14 and 15. See, everybody has a conscience. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God searches the heart. And God reveals to our conscience what is right and what is wrong. And in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, for when the Gentiles, that is, those that weren't Jews, they weren't the people of God, but when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. What he's saying is, before the law was ever codified and written and given to Moses on Mount Sinai and then the rest of the law of God, it said people already knew what was right and wrong because God had written it in their hearts. Lost people today know what is right and wrong. Children, as they grow up, they, as we teach them, they understand it's wrong to lie. It's wrong for a little boy to hit his sister or the sister to hit her brother. We know that intuitively. Why? Because we have a conscience. Even if we didn't have the word of God, which we do, thank God. Amen. It said the Gentiles, they didn't have the law. They didn't have the word of God, but yet they did what was right. Why? Because God had put it in their heart, in their conscience, and they knew what is right and what is wrong. But the problem is the Bible, as I just mentioned in 1 Timothy 4, there are those that are listening to the lies of the devil and of the world, listening to false preachers, and their consciences are seared as it was with a hot iron. And they can't discern anymore. You know, I find it, I like Law and Order and all those kind of shows, and they'll, sometimes somebody commits a crime and they'll have them go and talk to a psychiatrist, and they want to know, was this person aware of what they were doing? Did they understand the consequences? And sometimes they'll say, yes, they did, or no, they didn't. And you know, that's a problem when your conscience gets seared with a hot iron. You're not able to distinguish. That's why I began with, we need to be thankful that sin bothers us. Amen? He talks about secret faults. I'm not going to have enough time, but I'm going to go as quick as I can. It says, who by then the servant is warned, and keeping them, there's great reward. And then in verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And real quick, if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I think there's some examples. I think these are inadvertent sins. Can we sin and not realize at the moment that it was sin? I think that is possible, that we can do that, and as we grow, we become more aware of it. But the reality is there is no secret sin. What may be secret on earth it's been said an open scandal in heaven. You don't know my heart, I don't know your heart. And we could put on a good face and we could look good. And everybody said, wow, look at him or look at her. What a great Christian they are. But God doesn't know. God knows, but people don't know. We can trick people, can't we? We can trick people. And they say, boy, I remember when I was a brand new Christian and a young Christian, been called to preach. And I remember I went into this other church, some people I knew there, and I went into the Sunday school class, and I remember the brother, I won't get into the names, but when I came in, he said, wow, he said, look at here, here's a real man of God. And boy, I'll tell you, I got lifted up with pride for just a moment. I thought, wow, here's a real man of God. But then God began to speak to my heart and said, I know you. He doesn't know you, but I know you. Amen? Amen. And we do want to have a good reputation. We do want to live what we really believe and be what God has called us to be. But, you know, there's no secret sin in heaven. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I didn't write it down, so I have to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And I'm talking about inadvertent sins, sins that we commit and we're not really aware of it. You know, let me see if I can find it here. If I turn to 1 Timothy, I'd get it instead of Thessalonians. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning verse 12. Apostle Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for he has counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." But listen to what he says about himself. "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." When he persecuted the church, he thought he was doing God a favor. He thought, "God, these people, they're ascribing to this man deity and that he's the Savior." He said, "I did it ignorantly in unbelief." That's, to me, inadvertent sin. He didn't know it was sin at the time. He thought what he was doing was right. You know, we Baptists are guilty of putting others down if they don't dot their I's and cross their T's exactly the way we do. And we look down our nose at them, and I know we'll look at the church at Ephesus, and we know they had true and wonderful doctrine, yet they had left their first love. God had, you know, we might have everything right, but if we're not loving people the way God does, we're guilty. And we might look at, we think we're doing right. Well, God, those people are wrong. Jesus said, "I've not come into the world to condemn the world. The world is already condemned." You don't need to condemn them, but we need to lift people up and encourage people, right? Amen. I don't have time to turn to it, but in chapter 11, another example of inadvertent sin. Thank God for godly parents. You know, Jochebed, she had Moses for just a little while, didn't she? Just a little while. But I'm going to tell you, she taught that young boy something, because when he was come of years, when he came of age, he realized something. "I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Hebrew." You know, that's what they did with Daniel. And those young men that came with him, they tried to assimilate them into the culture, give them Babylonian names and teach them the Babylonian language. But they never forgot who they were, and they were purposed in their heart to serve the Lord. See, the devil, we're in the world, but not of the world. Amen? We're in the world. We're not of the world. We're not like the world. We're not going to give in to the world. And Moses, when he has come to years and he saw one of his Hebrew brethren being abused, you know what he did? He killed this Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. Now, you and I might think, well, it was a secret. Well, it wasn't a secret. And he found out the next day. They said, "Oh, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian?" And you know, it cost him 40 years in the wilderness herding sheep because of that, because of the sin that he had done. But yet it says he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy sin for a season. I think sometimes we misunderstand that verse. Is there pleasure in sin? Yes. We can enjoy sin. We shouldn't, but we do. But he made a choice. He made a choice when he decided to stand up and say to Egypt and to the world, "I'm not an Egyptian." The world wants to box us in. It wants to suppress us. It wants to get us to turn from God, just like the devil tried to do with Job. And we need to say to the world, "No, I belong to God. I'm not a child of the world, not a child of the devil. I'm a child of God." And when you make a decision, it's going to cost you. He could have stayed there in Pharaoh's house. He had everything you could imagine, the prestige, the money, the wealth. Who knows when he succeeded Pharaoh? We know his position in the land, but he made a choice. "I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to sell out for whatever the world is going to offer me. I'm going to give my life to God." And the devil is trying to get us to sell out. The devil wants to know, "What's your price? What's your price? What's it going to take you to turn away from God?" I wanted to get more into the conscience and everything, and I'm not going to give very much further. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. We believe in him with all of our hearts. We confess, "I'm not a child of the world. I'm a child of God." George Foreman, former heavyweight world champion, just died not long ago, but he's a good Christian. But he was interviewed once. You know, he had, if you remember, if you're into the boxing world, he had just totally humiliated Joe Frazier and become the champion of the world. And then he was going to fight Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali was, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And the consensus was Ali's never going to beat Foreman because that guy's got a punch. And man, when he hits you, lights out. And they were interviewing George Foreman. Of course, he had lost that fight to Muhammad Ali. And he said, man, he said, I hit him a good one. I mean, man, I really laid it on him. And he had destroyed others with that punch. And he said, they got in a clinch. He said, after I had just hit him with that good one, I thought, man, that's going to do it. And he said, Ali whispered in the clinch and said to him, is that all you got? He said, I knew I was in trouble. You know what we need to do? We need to say to the world and to the devil, is that all you got? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Bible says if we resist the devil being steadfast in the faith, what will he do? He'll flee away. We need to say to the devil when he comes against us and the world comes against us, is that all you got? You know what it says? He'll flee away. And that's right, devil. He runs over here. Oh, I got to get away from that Christian. That's right. You stay away. You get away from me. Oh, don't let the devil get control over us, right? Wow, amen. I'm excited. Oh, let me come down here for a minute. I'm really excited. I'm excited that we can resist the devil. And it says he'll flee away. We don't realize the power he has. The devil says, boy, I hit him with a good one. Oh, I got him this time. I got him with a good one. I may be down, but I'm not out. That godly man, the righteous man, he falls seven times. What does he do? He gets right up. I don't care how many times the devil knocks us down. We can say to the devil, is that all you got? I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm going to get up. I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to be just like Moses, and I'm going to be like Paul. Even though I mess up, you know, don't have time to give you the presumptuous sin, that willful sin. And it says, you know, that we, in Romans chapter 6, do not let sin have dominion over you. You know, he says as he professes his faith in God, he says, you know what, I'm going to be upright. I'll not be guilty of the great transgression. You and I are upright. You know why we're upright? Because we're standing in Jesus. Amen? Amen? We're not upright because of what he did, not what you and I did yesterday. Amen? You know, it's been said, you know, I'll eat that bag of donuts. Jennifer, you know I like those donuts. And I used to eat that bag of donuts, but then I'd go out and drink a couple of Diet Cokes and say, well, you know, Lord, that'll offset it, won't it? Isn't that what we do sometimes? We think we're upright because of what we've done. Oh, Lord, you know, I know I sinned. I had a wicked thought, or I did this, or that, and the other. But after all, oh, Lord, you know, I gave off some tracks yesterday. That ought to cover it. That's wrong thinking. No, if you did anything, it was because the Spirit of God prompted you and helped you to do it. You didn't do it. He did it. If I'm doing it in my own strength, and you're doing it in your own strength, well, folks, something is wrong. We need to realize there's nothing in me, nothing good in me. It's only Christ. And I'm upright. And because you're upright, because you're born again by the Spirit of God, you'll not be guilty of the great transgression. What is the great transgression? Well, it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, brother. You rejected Christ. That's a great transgression. That's the only unpardonable sin. If you reject Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. Amen? I'll never be guilty. Devil, I don't care what you throw at me. How bad it may seem or how hard it might seem, how tough it might seem. We just heard a testimony of our dear sister that I don't know this morning. Had to make a trip to D.C. She didn't want to go in a wheelchair and she falls. And she breaks her knee. What'd she say? This too shall come to pass. Amen. No matter what comes, you can say to the devil, I can handle it. I can handle it. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for a great Savior. Forgive us for those inadvertent sins.
presumptuous.